Feel it like thunder and lightning. I see it's all about the moments and timing.
Moments, just timing.
It's living at the same time it's dying.
Guys,
how we doing?
Oh, pretty good.
We're back.
Another running back to hits.
Yeah,
the crew is here. Lee is here. Youngest is here. How are you, Youngest?
I'm doing well. Another special guest is here. Mm-hmm. We got our guy Spag here.
Spag in the building.
My closest and most personal friend.
Yes.
How you doing, Spag?
I'm doing pretty good. Had a decent weekend at home. Didn't work today. So.
Good. Very good.
About that.
Very good. Glad to have you.
Happy Juneteenth to those that listen and celebrate.
Indeed. Happy Juneteenth. You know what I'm saying?
Happy Father's Day to those
that to have the fathers. To the dads. We've got PDR's been on here. He's dad gang. I don't know
we've
if
we've had a few dads on here.
Yeah, we've had a couple dad gangs. Shout out to dad gang.
Happy Joe's Juneteenth. Been on here, not sure if Joe's a dad or not. past and future guests.
Yes.
On to our past and future dads.
But yeah, what we got going on today?
What do we have going on today? Today, we've got a album draft, you know, the stuff everybody loves. Not because they like to listen to us, but because they like to yell at us. A whole lot of yelling.
I'm ready to yell.
I'm ready to get yelled at.
Yeah.
And the year we're doing this year is 2013. 2013. Spag, you want to tell us about what Spag was like in 2013? What was the...
Oh, boy.
Set the scene for us.
Oh, God. That would have been my sophomore year of high school. I graduated in 2015. So would have just... I don't know. I was a skinny kid who played baseball and basketball. That was about as much as the extent of my life was. So that's about it.
It was like Brother Ali in your rotation at this time.
That's crazy. I fucking hope not.
No.
Good.
Yeah, he's not really.
I'm just going to say right now, I think in terms of the draft, I'm taking things that I'm going to guess you might not take. So
yeah,
that's good.
That's why I brought Spag on, so that way I could get the albums I want. I can always trust him for that. But at the same time, he offers a different voice than me and Leave give. A very Wisconsin voice.
Yes.
Lee, how about you? What was 2013 like for you?
Oh my goodness. I was in like a similar place, sophomore high school. I wasn't really like, this was the beginning of me kind of like diving into more stuff musically, trying to see what I liked out of my comfort zone, digging more into the blogs, digging more into the mixtapes, stuff like that. And then even getting older, coming back, listening to stuff that I had missed. Cause I had a lot of older friends when I was in college. So going back and finding stuff. Stuff that is a little bit, like you said, out of my comfort zone. My big board is it's a little different. I got some very like, I got some white people shit on.
That doesn't make me feel good, I'll be honest about that.
So, yeah. And that's what I like about this year in particular. Like, it's been about 10 years, so we can look at a lot of these albums. Like, it's been damn near a decade. We can say how influential they were, like how they stood the test of time. And I think a lot of these albums do stand the test of time. A lot of the stuff that was big then might have fallen off. Some stuff that was not as big has actually proven to be really, really great. So,
yeah, 2013. For me, the first half of the year, I'm a freshman in high school. Second half of the year, sophomore. That summer, not quite driving yet, but spending a lot more time with friends and having a little more independence, you know? So music was a big part of that. And yeah, we'll talk about some albums that came out during the summer and like how I ran those into the ground, whether it was on a speaker in a park playing sports or if it was playing video games nonstop and just having that on in the background. So 2013 was a pretty formative year. Obviously this show centers around rap a lot, and 2013 felt like a year where there was a lot of discussion on what's real rap music and what's not. We're starting to see a little more experimental stuff, a little more melodic stuff. There might be an album taken that's a little more experimental than we'd heard at the time. So that was like a giant conversation. I mean, you had guys that were doing more traditional stuff in the ways of like Drake and ASAP Rocky who were newer, but Kid Cudi put out an album that sounded a little different at the time. And you're seeing guys like Rich Homie Quan start to come up a little bit from there. Yeah, Young Thug and those discussions on like mumble rap and
yeah,
all that stuff starts bubbling a little bit. So 2013 is a very interesting year. It's a formative year, a really big year looking at like the albums that came out. There's going to be a lot that we're going to miss today and a lot we're going to talk about. So excited for that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Are you doing the thing to decide who's first?
Yeah, I can do that. Yeah, so do we want to do 5 albums or 10 albums?
I would say 5. I mean, if we get to 5 and everyone's like, yo, I still got so much shit on my board, it's crazy. Maybe we could go with 10.
But I know, like, if anything, you just throw some honorable mentions out there after 5, yeah, depending on how much we got.
We got Lee, Youngest, and Spag. Okay. Here. Do I have the ability to share my screen? Nope.
It's okay. I trust you to not even, I don't even need to see it.
You don't need to see it. I lost my mouse. Where's my mouse? All right, we're spinning. Tick, 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 tick. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. That's nasty.
You're first.
I'm first.
Okay, I didn't want first, at least.
You didn't want first?
I didn't know. Yeah,
first is a lot of pressure. I don't know what I'm going to take first. Because there's like something I really want to take away from Lee. So I got to decide if now is the time, because I feel like he might have it. Second is Spag. Lee, you're going last.
Okay, right. I'm for the second. That was my ideal spot, honestly.
Yeah,
first, Spag, just right in the middle, no pressure.
Yeah, Spag sandwich. Okay, so let's see. I'm pulling up a document so that way I can keep track of what we picked. But is there anything you guys want to dig into before we get to picking? Is there like any singles you guys saw that like you don't think you'll really draft the album, but there was like one song off there you were like, oh yeah, I really like that song from this year.
That's a good because I want to say no, because a lot of these albums are still in play. Maybe actually no.
I feel like I'm gonna answer that at the end, because
yeah, I don't even want to say it. I don't want to give the game away, you know what I mean?
All right, so these guys are no fun. We'll get right into it then. Actually no, I'm gonna give mine. I just realized this was a 2013 song, Own It by Mack Wilds. I don't know if anyone remembers that one, but yeah,
of course.
New York, A Love Story is probably not going to be drafted by anyone here. That's a single off there. Maybe I shouldn't speak for everyone, but Some Type of Way by Rich Homie Quan. I don't even think it was on an album at some point at this point. It's not on an album.
I think Rich Homie did have a project that year.
But that's not on there. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
That's just a single. Yeah. R.I.P. by Young Jeezy. Probably not gonna take the Jeezy album there, but that's another fun one from that year. 2013 had some Good stuff. But we are going to do albums. And now I have all the pressure in the world. You know, first pick is a lot of pressure because you got to set the tone on what's first pick worthy. And
if it's a dud, they're going to yell at you.
Yep. And I think it might be a dud, but it's not a dud to us on this show. And since it's not a dud to us on this show, I'm going to take it because I really want to take it from Lee. This is, I'm not too vengeful when it gets to these drafts. I'm not trying to take shit from him. Most of the time, Lee's not trying to take shit from me. Lee, do you got to guess what I want?
I do, but I don't want to say it because if you get it, I'll say it.
Okay. Yeah, I'm taking the 2020 experience.
By yep. Yeah, I knew it.
We love this album on this show.
Classic.
A classic. In our eyes, it's something that me and Lee talked about early on when we started talking about music. I think 2020 experience was one of the first ones we were like, hey, we both really like this, and it doesn't feel like enough people give it credit.
Yeah.
It's the last good Justin Timberlake album, and it's only almost 10 years old now.
Yeah.
Filled with like hits top to bottom on it. You got like Suit and Tie was the major one that started off the year. That was released in like January, and that kind of kept its momentum. But really the stuff that shines on here for me are more of the album cuts. Stuff like Mirrors is good too, and Tunnel Vision. Those were the singles. But Push Your Love Girl to open out, really big fan of that one. Huge fan of That Girl, which has like amazing writers on it. Yeah. Stuff from Jerome Harmon to James Fauntleroy to Justin Timberlake writing on that one. That's a really like blues feel.
Yeah.
When he announced Cabin in the Woods, I expected a lot of That Girl on there, and he just didn't give us that. But Blue Ocean Floor, 2020 experience. Even the double album that comes out after, I think, really helps it. But in 2013, it's just the first half. It's 70 minutes long and 10 tracks. It's kind of long, drawn-out songs, but a fan of it.
Yeah, and the whole idea of this, if I remember right, it was kind of Timbaland being like, you know, there's all these classic albums from, you know, white bands and white artists, and they would kind of get to just jam and make long songs. And Timbaland was like, I want to do that with urban music. So that was that was a big inspiration for this record. Just making some longer songs that you could still jam to, still vibe to. And yeah, I agree with you. They did it with this. This album is crazy. It's getting underrated just because of how we kind of look at Timberlake. But I think when it came out, and even like, you know, like 5 years after it came out, it had that respect. And I think if people go through this album, I think there is still a lot to love. You hit on pretty much everything I wanted to say. Strawberry Bubblegum, one of my favorite Timberlake songs.
That one's also like 9 minutes long.
Yeah. Yeah. Spaceship Coupe. That Girl you mentioned, Don't Hold the Wall. They just do everything, you know, upbeat, kind of more downbeat, slower stuff. They do it all on here. And this album is great, underrated, classic.
I mean, I was going to say, like, this came out in, like, March. I just wanted to check that because I say it seems like something that definitely has, like, a summer feel where you're just playing that the entire summer and everything. So I remember, especially Suit and Tie and Mirrors, like you said, I think those are just the two, I would assume those are the two biggest songs off of it. At least
they were. Yeah, massive ones.
Yeah, at least they were for me. But yeah, I'd say that was definitely one where just like all summer, you're rotating those in and out.
Yeah. Who's going next? Spag's next.
Yeah, that's me. Spag. All right. See, I don't know if I, like, there's something I want to take. Lee might take it next. We'll see. But I'm going to go AM by Arctic Monkeys.
Okay. See, this is one of the few that
this is on my list.
Oh, good. See, there we go.
Yeah.
When you said you had a lot of white shit on there, I was like, oh, boy.
Yeah, but talk to us about the Arctic Monkeys spec.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is their best album. Personally, like just like top to bottom. And for each of these albums, I picked my three favorite songs from each. So for this one, I have Are You Mine, Arabella, and Why'd You Only Call Me When You're High? And I mean, those three, they stood out the most. Just nice, like, hard rock music for the most part. And I think that especially with the first song on the album, Do I Want to Know, that one, it's got like the opening, I don't know how to describe it, but it's very recognizable when you hear it. Like, I can't think of what exactly it's from, but it's got just like the guitar playing and the drums going and everything, and when you hear it, you know what it is.
Yep.
But yeah, I think like top to bottom, it's a very good rock album. So
yeah, for Arctic Monkeys, they kind of like were bubbling for a little bit, and AM's the one that pushed them through. They became like superstars after AM, and funny enough, they didn't put out another album for 5 years after that. They kind of rode that AM hive, and it has kept its longevity. I think when people think of Arctic Monkeys, they think of this album, and that's kind of the one that's stayed the test of time. And everything we're talking about today is obviously a little over 9 years old, or getting close to like 10-year anniversary stuff. So
yeah,
AM being this strong, proof within itself, worthy of a number two pick.
Yeah, this album's crazy. Like, it was on my list, pretty high on my list. Like Spag mentioned, the intro, super cinematic, just sets the feel for the album so well. He mentioned Why'd You Only Call Me When You're High. That's probably my standout. Yeah, just a great album. I'm not like the biggest rock fan. I don't even know how I found this. I think I knew someone who really, really liked it. And yeah, this is an album that it was good for me to come back to. I kind of forgot about it. And then I was like, oh, this was 2013 too. So it was good to go back and kind of listen to it. So yeah, very good pick. I like that. I like both the picks so far.
Well, I was going to say, like, when that was the first one, I didn't know what exactly 2013 had entirely. And when Youngest said 2013, I'm going through, and that one stuck out immediately, where it was like, well, I got to make sure I try to get that one at least.
Lee, what do we got for your number one?
Number one pick. Let me do a quick Google search, because I think this album came out in 2013. It did. I'm actually not going to do it. I'll mention it because it was so late in the year. I'll mention it at the end. I'll just do that. So instead, I'm actually going to start with my favorite rap album from this year. Not a lot of rap high on my list, so I want to get a rapper, get out of the way early. Pusha T, My Name Is My Name.
Fuck you, man.
We're big Pusha T guys. We're both two huge Pusha T fans. Clips, the solo stuff. Pusha T has never really missed in his career. Pretty good solo discography from Push. This is my favorite Push album. I know there's a lot of Daytona fans. I'm a huge My Name Is My Name fan. Really not a miss to be found on here. Great album length. I feel like Push has always been good with that. 12 songs, 46 minutes. Features are great. Beats are amazing. He's rapping his ass off. The production on here, it's just next level. I mean, Push knows how to surround himself with good producers, and they know how to make songs for Push. Like the beat for Suicide is just fucking insane. I love the Jeezy feature. Love Kendrick on Nostalgia, obviously. Snitch. Yeah. Let me go. My Name Is My Name.
Yeah, so I'm a little sick here because I was just talking this week how this is aged super well. It's something I've been digging into, listening to a lot lately. And one thing Lee didn't really touch on was, I mean, you got to think of the context of Push's career at this point. I mean, he blows up with Clips with him and his brother, and they're doing this rap music thing. And then his brother steps away from rap, and Pusha wants to keep rapping. So you kind of see him bubbling a little bit. Kanye kind of gives him a lot of power over at Good Music. And then he puts out like an EP with Trouble, by with him and Tyler the Creator, and that kind of gained some steam and it's blowing and it's like, all right, so what can Pusha T do by himself? It was really a prove it album of like, what can he do by himself? And now he's being thrown on verses left and right for good music. He's owning all his verses, but it's like, what kind of project can he come out with? And then he just lays the hammer down. My Name Is My Name's like his debut. I don't know how many people were really doubting him as a solo artist, but it was a conversation to be had of like, what can he give us? Not is he going to flop or not. It's just like, what can he give us? And gives us a great album. Mentioned the features on here. The Ross feature on Hold On really holds up well. Love the Jeezy feature on No Regrets. That one's nuts. Kendrick, of course, has been talked about a lot. Future, great feature on there. Pharrell's got a strong feature to close it out. I'm looking at this 12-track list. There's not a song on here that I would skip now. And it's amazing because it sounds very 2013. It's as 2013 as it can sound. A lot of the beats are aged. A lot of the raps are aged. But for some reason, I can't get sick of it.
I agree.
It's bag. Have you heard this one before?
You might as well just go to the next
one. Have you? Let me ask you this: are you familiar with any of Pusha T's work? Like, are you? Do you notice him when you listen to a song like "Click" or "Mercy" or something? One of the bigger ones that came out from that year.
No, I'll be honest.
Not really. Yeah, that's fine. Listen.
I would say the good thing is now this is stuff that I'll be able to check out.
That's about it. Lee, what do we got for your second one?
I mean, the only way to follow Pusha T, some of the most illustrious Coke bars that we've ever had in hip hop, is to draft the debut album from three white girls, right? Give me Haim. Give me their debut record. It's called Days Are Gone. And holy shit. Let me tell you something about Haim. Yeah. Like, let me talk about Haim real quick and what they did. Because the blending of all these genres, pop, soft rock, contemporary R&B, everything that they were able to put together on their debut record. This album is amazing. It doesn't sound dated. There's not really a skip on here. Honey and I is maybe the only song that I would skip on here, but this album is amazing. It's probably my favorite Haim album, and I'm a fan of really all their work. So if you're not familiar with Haim, I think this is one that you should check out. I love it. A lot of like great, like upbeat, dancey stuff that I'm definitely playing in the summer. So yeah, give me Days Are Gone by Haim for my second pick.
See, I was thinking that might even be able to last till the honorable mentions. I didn't think anyone was gonna pick it.
No, sorry.
But no, it's a really good album. And it was one that I definitely didn't like come around to it until Licorice Pizza came out. Cause I had no idea who they were. So here, like seeing them in there, looking them up, and then listening to the album, it was like, well, damn, this is something I wish I would have come across sooner. But yeah, like Lee said, it just top to bottom, really good. I think The Wire is the song that stands out the most to me. But it starts out really strong. I think Falling is the first track on it. And yeah, I mean, that's just a really good start to the album.
Oh, we are all over the place on this show because I've not heard this album. I don't really have a whole lot of exposure to Haim or their music. Saw them in Licorice Pizza and that was about it. I was like, yeah, that's good vibes. So I didn't really have a desire to check it out after that, but
yeah.
What hey, do we Cash got? Con, listen to this album if you haven't heard it yet.
What do we got next, Bay?
All right. Okay, well, I'm going to go a little off what I was thinking. Now, I'm going to preface this with, I don't generally listen to country. However,
all right, Lee does.
I'm going to go same trailer, different park, Casey Musgraves.
Yes. Yes. I love where we are right now.
I'm lost. I'm gonna let you two cook here. Yeah, I'm gonna let you two cook here.
So I'll say my first exposure to this would have been, I'm pretty sure it was the CMAs. It might have been the Grammys. I'm not sure. But like it being her first album and everything, she performed Follow Your Arrow on the award show. So I heard that, loved it. And then, yeah, dove into the album. And I think I want to say that's still probably my top song on there. But then Merry Go Round, very good. And again, another strong start. Silver Lining is another very good one. Lee, you want to take it?
This is a dope album. Casey is someone who's interesting to look at because she's such a big star now. Mm-hmm. And when this came out, she obviously wasn't quite at that point. It's her album that's most grounded in country music. So I think a lot of, you know, more traditional rooted country fans would like this the most from her. I like Golden Hour a lot. I like them both about equally. Same Trailer, Different Park is really, really good. You know, mm-hmm. there's so many of your traditional country songs. You know, there's Blowing Smoke, which is your song about being a waitress, which you hear from so many country singers. You talked about Merry-Go-Round. I love Dandelion. There's just so many dope songs on here. And it shows the versatility. It's the album where she skirted the line perfectly of I can make songs that are rooted in country music but have pop appeal. Obviously, she kind of like ratcheted it up in the future. But yeah, this is a great debut, like a perfect debut. An album that I go back to a lot, start to finish, don't really need to skip anything on here. And yeah, it's great.
That's what I was going to say about it. Like, it's definitely more rooted in country, but it's not like full on. Yeah. Like, you've got the themes and everything, but it just, like you said, there are some songs that are a little more poppy, so it just kind of, it does toe that line. Yeah. And I think she does it really well.
Yep.
Yeah, have not heard this. Probably won't check it out. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to lie to your ears. Not going to lie over the airwaves. But if you like country music, I feel like Brett Spag and Lee really sold it.
Yeah.
Now, for my pick, honest to God, cannot believe it fell to me. One of my favorite albums by one of my favorite rappers. I'm going Nothing Was the Same by Drake. It is my favorite Drake album, actually. I think it's the perfect mixture of what he brings to the table between the rap and the R&B and that kind of mix. And he was getting a lot of shit at the time for being a softer person, and when you go back and listen to it now compared to how music has been the last 10 years, especially music for men in the industry, both R&B and rap, it's funny how that was called soft at the time. It's really forward thinking without being too experimental. It's his last album, I think, before he starts looking at a pop lens. So you get really traditional stuff on here. Big fan of it. There's great features from like Sampha on there. There's actually not too many features, which is another super impressive part from him, especially after Take Care, where it felt like there were a lot of people that had their hand in it and were trying to guide him. Nothing Was the Same really kind of let him loose and let him do his own thing. Big fan of the Chains verse, Big Sean verse even on All Me. Like, love this album.
That's an interesting dynamic, just because when you look at Drake, so much of it has been taking other styles of music and kind of like repackaging it and applying it in his own way. So it is interesting. I agree with you. I think this is Drake's best album. It is interesting that it's the one, especially when you look at like the standard version, you get like Sampha, you get Jay-Z, Majid Jordan, Janae, like not a lot of like rap features there. It's very, very grounded in Drake. So yeah, it's super interesting that I agree. I think it's his best album too. I don't think he'll ever top it at this point. An album that I don't want to say it doesn't get his credit because of how big the songs were, but I think a lot of people sell this short of just like how actually good of a record it is. It's really, really good.
Yeah, it's come to the point where it's just kind of like an auto default people have, where they're like, Drake's not good, but like Nothing Was the Same, you know, or Drake's not good, but Take Care. And you got to go back and actually listen to like Tuscan Leather and how nuts he goes for 6 minutes, or you got to go back and listen to Too Much and how he uses Sampha's voice through the production and how great that sounds. And yeah, he does a lot of stuff on here I wish he went back to. I feel like he went back to it a little bit on Certified Lover Boy. I feel like he went back to it a little bit on parts of Scorpion on certain songs. But yeah, that's the Drake that I know and love. Spag, are you into Nothing Was the Same at all? Have you heard it?
Yes. I did have that on. I had that lower on my list because I figured somebody else would take it, and I'd prefer somebody else to talk it over me.
I was going to take it first, but I needed to take 2020 from Lee, to be honest.
Well, and so, I mean, I haven't really listened to any Drake stuff since, but I know, like, based on, you know, what I've seen on the internet and everything, people saying how, you know, that it's been going downhill a little bit as it's been going on. So I think where Lee says, you know, it, in that sense, it could almost be becoming underrated just because of how everything else has been. So it's like, it's just not brought up because the things that have come out lately have kind of probably soured that for some people. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, when you actually go back and listen to it, it's like, yeah, he used to put out really good stuff. I mean, it was a good album.
Yeah. For sure. My next pick. Another one, can't believe I got. I feel like I'm in competition with Lee here. No offense to Spag. Not because my list is better, but I feel like I got to pull albums before Lee. Yeah. I'm going Because of the Internet.
See, that was originally going to be my number two, but I went with switched it up.
See, you could have got it back. If you got a country one with me coming on the other side.
I know. I could have waited.
Because the Internet, me and Lee have kind of gone on length on this show about that album in particular and about Childish Gambino and our feelings about him and that project. I feel like some people thought I was real critical on it, but I'm taking it third here. I legitimately enjoy it a lot. There's stuff on here I constantly go back to do Spag's thing of three favorite songs, probably like Telegraph Ave, of course, one of the better songs ever on the face of the earth. Pink Toes and probably 3005. I know that's like one that gets forgotten about because it was a single and it was all over the place, and it feels like the song that was made as a single within the vibe of the rest of the album, but I still think it's true to Because of the Internet, and it's definitely something I enjoy listening to every time I hear it.
Crazy album, dude. And it's so interesting to look at because of everything that Donald's done in his career. I think I'd said it when we talked about it. This is probably my favorite thing that he's ever done in his career. I just love this album. I think it really, really could have been insanely corny. And it kind of is a little corny, but it's I think it has a self-awareness that something like a Sire by Jaden Smith doesn't. And that's an album that I like too, but I don't think it has that self-awareness. This album is crazy. We've talked about it before on the show. As an album, as individual songs, I think it's good either way. I think you can pick songs, you can run it front to back. I don't even know if I could pick like a top three. I love Earn. I love No Exit. I love Pink Toes. I love Telegraph Ave. I love Shadows. Like so, so much. That is good on this. And it makes me want some more Childish Gambino music.
Yeah. Spag, what's your experience with Because of the Internet?
So, I mean, 3005 is just, I think that's always going to be the one that stands out. But when I was going through it again, like both of you said, Pink Toes was one where it gets away from more of the rap a little bit. Like the harder like sweatpants rap and stuff like that. I really liked that. So, you know, as we got his next album and everything, well, the most recent one, I should probably say.
No, not even. See, everyone forgets about the most recent one. There was one after Awaken My Love that just like came in.
Yeah, then yeah,
the Dates album.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, no, anyway, that's something me and Lee have talked about on this show. At least me personally, I prefer it more when he does the stuff like Pink Toes compared to his rapping. I'm not a big fan of his rapping.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, Speg, you're back up.
All right. Then I'm gonna do Pure Heroin by Lord.
Woo, this is a good pick. This was on my short list. I didn't know if I was gonna really get to it, but I'm glad someone took it. Talk to us about Pure Heroin.
I mean, it came out like when in theory she was like the same age as I was. Like I was turning 16 the summer of 2013. That's how old she was when it came out. Mm-hmm. But so I think like the themes and everything, you know, about kind of being in a weird spot in life and everything. But I mean, the first song I heard from this one was Ribs. It was given out free on iTunes, like right before the album came out or something. So that was my first exposure to Lord. And then, I mean, listening to that and everything, then I had to dive into the album itself. And then, I mean, Tennis Court, Royals, Team, those are, I think those are the ones that were most mainstream. And I mean, I personally consider those to be the better ones, but as front to back, it's phenomenal.
Yeah. Lee, you like white women. How do you feel about Lord?
This album is crazy. It was actually literally at the top of my list for the next round. This album is crazy. Like, I remember when Lord came out, for me, it was Royals. I feel like that was the one for kind of the people who aren't as initiated. That was how we heard.
I can agree with that.
And I didn't really tap into this one probably until like 2017-ish, you know, in college, going back when Melodrama came out. There was such a big buzz around it. I was like, okay, let me go back and listen to Pure Heroin. And yeah, it is that deal. Almost more like, I mean, it is an album, but it had kind of like an EP feel because of how short it was. It was a great introduction that if I was kind of like more there at the time, I would have been loving and waiting for more. Yeah, this album is amazing. Obviously, Rose is probably my favorite song. I love White Teeth Teens too. Big fan of that one.
Yeah, I think it's one of the better pop albums, at least for that decade, and one we've gotten in a long time. She hit the scene, ground, like, running. It was such a major deal. I remember when it came out, and Lorde kind of hid from the limelight a little bit after this, which, really good for her. It's hard to, like, hit that type of fame at 16, and she seemed pretty level-headed about it, and she's very open to criticism and a lot of stuff. So always been appreciative of Florida and like, yeah, Pure Heroin. One, I haven't said anything that I can't say anything you guys haven't said about it, to be honest with you, but strong pop album. Lee, what do we got next?
So we got two. I mean, I started with an album that I'm kind of surprised made it this far. Not super surprised, but kind of surprised. Because I think its influence, how good it was at the time, how big it was, should maybe have made it going a little higher. Daft Punk, Random Access Memories is my
next point. I did not expect you to take that one, to be honest with you. I thought I had that one in the bag.
Yeah, so... this album is really, really special with how influential it's been to pop music, just music in general. This album was super ahead of its time. I think it does a great job of like respectfully paying homage to past eras of like dance music. Like I love the random like cutouts to speeches from people throughout the album, like Giorgio. Some of the groovier records like Lose Yourself to Dance, obviously a Get Lucky, when you get to more of like some of the more dancey songs, I still think they do that well too. This album has aged amazing. It was good at the time. It is one of those. Like when I think about albums, where when we talk about the 2010s, that should be one of the first albums that kind of gets mentioned. So give me Random Access Memories.
Yeah, this is one I continually go back to. There are a lot of songs on here. I think I listened to Doing It Right with Panda Bear more than anything else on here, weirdly enough, but
yeah,
huge fan of that one. Get Lucky was a moment within itself. Lose Yourself to Dance was kind of the other Pharrell song that kind of got swept under the rug a little bit, but it's still really good.
Yeah.
Daft Punk, the thing about this one, it's super impressive because they kind of built up their growth in the early 2000s and like late 90s. So this was a little bit of a comeback album for them. They made major headlines like doing the Tron Legacy and Tron soundtracks and stuff, but they weren't really giving their fans like music.
And some of that stuff had gotten panned like in real time. A lot of people weren't liking a lot of that music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the Random Access Memories, I remember when it came out, it being like a pretty big deal, and then it delivered. And I believe it is the last album Daft Punk has put out.
And they've broken up, so
it's the last album we're going to get from one of the best electronic groups, if not the best electronic group ever.
Didn't they just break up too? So like it's shocking that they didn't put anything out in between 2013 and now.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of called bullshit on the breakup, but we're getting close to like 2 years now. So I don't think it's too much bullshit. Are you familiar with this album?
Yeah. I mean, Lee ripped off the three songs that I had written down. Giorgio, Get Lucky, and Lose Yourself to Dance. I mean, Pharrell kills it on the I mean, that just from that perspective on the two songs in particular. But yeah, like Lee said with Giorgio, the how it breaks into the speech. And I mean, that song is what, like, it's got to be almost 8 minutes or something.
Yeah, like I think it's like 9 minutes.
So yeah, at first it's like, man, this is going, but it was cool to see. And I mean, it breaks into, I'm pretty sure there's some piano in there and just like different things. And yeah, I very, very good.
We are talking about a lot of albums that are short in number of songs and long in length. Like this one's 13 tracks and 74 minutes.
Yeah.
Like nowadays we get 32 tracks, 52 minutes.
Right.
Yeah. So Lee, you got another one
on the way. I do. Back. I'm trying to be smart here because I only got this one and one more, I think. So I'm gonna go with another debut. Something that's widely considered this person's worst album, an album that I used to be really, really tough on, but I have grown on. Kissland by The Weeknd.
Ooh, okay.
So Kissland comes out in 2013, and I wouldn't even listen to The Weeknd at the time, really. Come back around when I, you know, when Weeknd starts this huge run, and I'm like, let me go back, obviously hear the mixtapes, let me hear Kissland. Kissland is kind of like this weird forgotten stepchild on Weeknd's career. It's an album that people don't really talk about that much. And mainly because it got panned at the time, a lot of people didn't really like it. Weeknd had to kind of adjust. But looking back, man, I like this album quite a bit more than I remember. Shout out to Jim Jam. He's part of the reason too, because he's a big fan of this record. So I was like, and JTR too. So I was like, okay, let me go back and tap in. And I think there's like a portion in the middle where it's like slightly weak, but the highlights here are just insane. The title track, I think, is one of Weeknd's best songs he's ever made. I love the intro. I love Wanderlust. Him and Drake on Live For is a dope record too. There are a couple weak spots here. Like, I'm not a huge Love in the Sky fan, not a big Belong to the World fan, but pretty much everything else I think is very solid. It says a lot that I think this is probably Weeknd's worst studio album, because this is still really, really good. So give me Kissland here.
Yeah, Kissland is one I've probably heard one time, and I do like Live For with Drake on there. Nothing on it really stood out to me. Might need to listen to it again. I'm not sure.
But I was like that at first too. I was like, y'all are just kind of hyping, but I have found a lot more.
I remember seeing Weeknd stuff a lot on like the blog sites in this time, but it wasn't stuff I was really clicking on. The thing that stands out to me though is Belly wrote like half of this with him, more than half, like 90% of it with him.
Yeah.
So that's a little Easter egg in there that I never do. So that explains why the Weeknd works with Belly so much. He helped his ass out a lot early on.
Yeah, I didn't know that. That's super interesting. And I mean, yeah, he's signed to EXO. I know they've done a lot of work together. So
yeah, I mean every Belly album has a Weeknd feature on there, like he's penciled in for. Have you heard Kiss Land Spag?
No.
Yeah. I mean, I think I've listened to it one time a long time ago.
I've been there. A lot of people just don't even know this album exists.
Yeah, I mean, it's been brushed under the rug pretty heavily. Like, it's like, oh, he goes from the trilogy straight into Beauty Behind the Badness. That's people move right past this one.
Yeah, honestly, I think Starboy might be the only
Weeknd album. Daft Punk's on Starboy. That's their last contribution there.
Yeah.
Spag, what do we got? We're back to you.
I think this would last, but I'm just going to take it. I'm going to take the 1975 by the 1975.
Okay.
Going to get a lot of support with that pick. I already know.
Yeah. I mean, it was their debut album. I mean, Matty Healy can sing. I mean, he's really good.
He sure can. Yeah.
And I think the first song I heard from this album was Chocolate. And as I've listened to it more and everything, the three, again, the standout would be Sex, Robbers, and Girls. Girls is another just really poppy song opposed to the others. Because, I mean, overall, it's got poppy feels to it across the entire album. But I think Robbers in particular is one where that one's more singing. Like, and I mean, I really didn't listen. I listened to it a little bit when it first came out, but it was more recent that I really got back into the group as a whole. So,
yeah, 1975 is always they're a group. When I hear their music, I enjoy it. It's not something I've really dug into just yet. This is one I can say that I'm willing to check out and dig into. I'm familiar with the work. I like their stuff. Definitely have to get into this. Lee, are you familiar with the 1975 at all?
No, I'm kind of in a similar spot as you. They're just a group that I keep hearing their name. This album in particular, there was a lot of acclaim for. I feel like a lot of people like this record, publications and just everyday folks. So yeah, I'm gonna have to tap in as well. I keep hearing the name. So yeah.
All right, we're back to me for. Okay, since we're here, am I making my last two picks, or are we gonna go to 10? How are our lists looking? You guys aren't taking a whole lot of rap, so I can push it to 10, but I don't know about you guys.
Let's go somewhere in between 5 and 10.
Based on what I have and based on, I think, the direction we're going, I think I'll have like 7-8 that I could probably do.
I was going to say 7.
Perfect. I get 4. Yeah. Perfect. Okay. So for my number 4, then, I won't feel as bad taking it this early. I'm going to go Long Live ASAP.
You bitch.
So Long Live ASAP is Rocky's debut album, I believe. Yeah, it is. It comes out in January 2013 and took over my life immediately. It is the perfect blend of ASAP taking a lot of stuff from other regions. I mean, he was known to jack stuff from the South a lot, but still have that New York griminess to it.
Yep.
there are songs on here that haven't aged well for me. I'm not a too big of a fan of like PMW or Wild for the Night. Those are not really songs I listen to much anymore. But the stuff on here that I really do like is stuff that has stayed with me for as long as it's been out. We're talking close to 10 years now. I mean, I listen to One Train a little more than I probably should. That's a constant discussion that we have on like whose verse is the worst on One Train and all this stuff. Fucking Problems is still a pretty good like radio single, especially for the time, and good Kendrick verse, good Drake verse. But it's really the last three songs on the original that stick out to me. It's Fashion Killer, it's Phoenix, and it's Suddenly. And that's where Rocky really shines for me. I don't know what has happened after this, which is a typical thing with these New York artists, but he found like the perfect middle of like appealing to a wide audience and being able to keep that New York sound. And he just like throws it all out the window. I mean, the next album kind of sticks to that as well. Huge fan of that, but it gets worrisome after that. Fan of the deluxe. I don't know how well known the deluxe is, but a song like Ghetto Symphony and Angels, those are two songs that are pretty heavily in my rotation.
I've come around on a lot of the later Rocky stuff. I was always a big At Long Last ASAP fan. Honestly, that's probably my favorite Rocky project. Which I know is kind of weird.
I think that's a pretty common opinion.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. I'm a big fan of that. I feel
like my friends are big at, like, I've always been Long Live just because I've been stuck with it forever. But yeah,
I love how Rocky's grown. Even Testing, I've come to appreciate. I really did not like Testing at first, but I've come to appreciate it a little bit. But yeah, this is like an interesting middle ground for ASAP. He hasn't really just like completely blown up to where he is now. So you still get like a PMW, which I still love. I like PMW a lot. It's one of my favorite on here. Obviously like a Goldie, which will never not sound amazing. Like Goldie is always going to sound good. Matter of fact, I need to play that in my car yesterday. Fashion Killer, like you mentioned. And yeah, the big moments too, like Fucking Problems. You get like this big posse cut in One Train, like kind of that kind of like New York element, like get a bunch of dudes and rap.
Honestly, the last great posse cut. I like a lot of posse cuts. There's like something I'm really into.
Yeah.
I love just the track with as many people as possible. We talked about it last episode when I talked about Payroll Giovanni. And one of my favorite songs on that Payroll Giovanni project was just a posse cut of people I don't even fucking know. Yeah. And this guy got like the best of the best at the time. You got like, Joey Badass, Big Crit, Kendrick Lamar, Action Bronson, like Danny Brown.
It might just be the young dude in me, but this is like an elite posse cut like all time. Like it needs to get that kind of respect.
I mean, so, we're 10 years later and people are still having discussions about it. Like One Train kind of rings bells a little bit.
Yeah.
Speg, you might have not have heard the album, but have you heard any songs off it? Have you heard like a Goldie or a
Fucking Problems?
I've heard Fucking Problems, but that's about it. That's my extent of the knowledge here.
Not bad, you know. You've heard more stuff on my picks than I've heard on your picks. So you should feel a lot better than me right now. My next pick. Oh, boy. Do I do it?
I'm kind of scared.
You shouldn't be too scared. It's not like a terrible pick. I think I'm just going to do it because I don't feel like searching for another one. I'm going to take J. Cole's Born Sinner. So J. Cole releases Born Sinner on the famed June 18th.
Oh, yes.
Discuss on the show a little bit. He drops with Mac Miller and Kanye West. It's the three of them kind of just take over the day. And their early internet days, a lot of discussion on like who's gonna win the day and like J. Cole, does he have the balls? Like, that's major balls for him to drop the same day as Kanye. And he even uses that in a line in one of his songs. It's just like, I'm going to drop the same day as Kanye, and you're going to see the boy become a man like Kanye. Yep. Big fan of this album. I think this is before the entire world decides that they hate J. Cole. So that was a nice little middle ground there that we got to enjoy Power Trip together. But
yeah,
the one thing I don't like about this album, I feel like he does a lot of the homage stuff, and he does a lot of like trying to sound like the people he enjoys a lot, whether it's the Forbidden Fruit beat being taken from Electric Relaxation, or it's Land of the Snakes being taken from Outkast. And a lot of that stuff, I think, hasn't aged well, and it kind of showed his eagerness as a young rapper. But the stuff on here, like She Knows or Runaway and Trouble, and even the opening track Voluminati, like big fan of that. And the deluxe is just as good. I mean, New York Times with 50 Cent and Boz, hearing Boz on that and then hearing Boz now is like whiplash. You can't believe it's the same person. And yeah, huge fan of Born Sinner.
This is a dope record. This was my, I'm in a weird spot with Cole albums where I don't know like what's my favorite. This was my favorite Cole album for like a pretty long time. Still loving the Off Season. I am one of a dozen For Your Eyes Only fans. So I'm in a weird place with Cole where I never can decide on what's my favorite. But yeah, this is some of his best work. Even, you know, mixtapes included, this is up there with some of the best J. Cole. Album's a little long. That's the main thing that I don't really like about it. But yeah, I mean, you hit it. Voluminati, She Knows, Forbidden Fruit even. Like, I like this album a lot. It shows a side of Cole. It's a perfect balance of Cole. Where, yeah, there is some... People hate on J. Cole too much, but there is some, like, validity to, like, a bare minimum of it. And this is, like, a perfect combination of what I want from Cole. So, yeah. Dope record.
Speg, have you heard Power Trip at least?
I mean, off the top of my head,
I'm sure you've heard it.
I'm sure, like, I probably have. Or like Crooked Smiles. She Knows might be.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm looking at the album here, and other than that, there's nothing a chance I might have, but nothing stands out.
Yeah, I'm sure you've heard Power Trip or Crooked Smile if you heard it.
Yeah, those I'd probably say Power Trip. Not a lot of big singles from Cole. Like, Power Trip was pretty big. The TLC joint. But yeah, not a ton of like big singles.
Yeah, great. I mean, just looking at the names on here, James Fauntleroy, TLC, Kendrick Lamar, Miguel, and then on the bonus, you got 50 Cent and Janina Aiko. Like, yep. He called in the troops for this one.
Yeah.
I believe we go back to Spag now. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is hypothetically your last pick before we give our two bonus rounds. But
yeah. So because of the two bonus rounds, I'm going to take it now just to make sure. But I'm going to take Paramore by Paramore.
Okay.
Paramore.
I mean... Looking at the rest of, you know, the things they've put out, I mean, Riot was very good. I mean, you got Misery Business on there and everything. But, I mean, I think this one stands, like, as an album beginning to end. I think it stands up there. I think the big ones, again, would be Ain't It Fun and Still Into You. I think those were probably the two that got the most traction after it came out. But I really enjoyed Hate to See Your Heartbreak as well. That's one where Hayley Williams just gets to sing more. It's less of that real upbeat pop punky kind of feel. It's just a lot more, it's slowed down, more of her just getting to show off her range a little more, which I really enjoyed.
Yep. I was going to mention that. Like, that's probably my favorite song on the album. Just them kind of getting more into like a ballad mode. I love Ain't It Fun too. Those are probably my top two. But yeah, this album is amazing. It's dope to see like the Paramore revival the past couple years. So I'm interested to see what the hell they do over the next 12 months. I'm super excited for whatever they do though.
Yeah, this isn't an album I've heard, but I kind of fell out of my Paramore era. I've heard their earlier stuff. I kind of fell out around this point exactly. Around when I got to high school, I started digging back into rap and stopped messing with some of this stuff. But I didn't know they got back together. So they're releasing something soon, or are they just touring?
I think so. I want to say they have new music coming out. I feel like Haley talked about it last year. I mean, it's the perfect time.
Yeah, I mean, she just came back in too, like, in terms, I think she was at Coachella with, wasn't it Billie Eilish? Didn't they perform together?
Yeah, I think she might have performed with Olivia too. Like, I think she might have done both.
She's only 33.
That's crazy.
That's
crazy.
Like, that's, yeah. She, this isn't like a group of like 45 year olds getting back together. Like, Halo's only 33. There's a lot of your favorite artists that are much older than that. All right, Lee, we're going back to you for two picks, but after your first one, let's establish that that's our five and then our two bonus rounds.
Perfect. So this is my last pick of the official. So let me go with an album that I'm slightly surprised made it this far, and that is Settle by Disclosure. This is another album that hit me. This kind of hit me when it came out. Like, Latch was such a big record that I was aware. You know, I heard it on the radio. I think my sisters were into it. But coming back, especially over the past, like, 12 months, with how, you know, much bigger I think electronic music, dance music in general is becoming, our friend, we got a lot of friends who love that stuff. So this is a record that I came back to, and man, oh man, this shit is amazing. Latch is probably my favorite song. Like, if there was a reason it was so big, but F For You, Voices, January, there's just not really that many misses on here. I think Defeated No More is probably the only song I'm not a big fan of, but yeah, this album is crazy. You know, I'm not like the biggest EDM guy, but this is one of my favorite EDM records of the past, you know, 10 years or so.
Yeah, I have not heard this outside of Latch. I don't know, Spag, have you heard this
outside? I actually ran it back like 2 days ago. So I mean, Latch is the one that sticks out the most. Again, I mean, that was the one where in high school and everything, that I think was just, it was just out there more and more people listened to that. But yeah, I mean, I really don't have much to say besides what Lee did. I mean, he covered it quite well. It's a solid EDM album from that perspective. But again, that's like he said too, that's not something I was ever really big into. So when I ran it back the other day, I was kind of shocked at, you know, how much there was on it that I enjoyed.
Yeah. If I'm ever in the electronic mood, I know where to look now. Go check out Disclosure. Disclosure is definitely one where a lot of people I know have a strong attachment to them. And big fan of their work. I know they're a duo, right? Yeah.
Yep.
Lee, you're again, aren't you?
It's true. This one, and then I'll have the last pick. So there's two that I want. I hope they both make it. How has that not been picked? I'm gonna start with I guess this is cool, I'll ask, but Migos, Young Rich News. Is that an acceptable pick here?
That is an acceptable pick.
Okay. Give me Young Rich News.
I'm gonna type YRN though. I'm not gonna type.
Okay. Yeah, I appreciate that. give me the original YRN. They had the album Young Rich Nation. Give me the original YRN. This is the mixtape that really kind of breaks Migos. Obviously, Versace is on here, not with the Drake feature that came a little later, I think. But this is what breaks the Migos. Like, Chinatown, Versace, obviously, like I said, Hannah Montana, Bando. Like, there are records in here that were hitting a fucking teenage kid in Oklahoma. You know, so this is really, like, when shit started bubbling for Migos. To this day, I think it's their best project. The chemistry, the, like, just the, like, the funny wit of these guys. I love the features. I love Gucci Mane on Dennis Rodman. That's, Dennis Rodman is low-key, like, my favorite Migos song, because that's, like, the song that introduced me to them. Yeah, I love this one a lot. I know a lot of Migos people, like, you got your No Label 2 Truthers, you got your, I'm blanking on the album, the original Culture, those guys, but I'm a big Young Rich Niggas guy. Like, I think this is their best, in my
opinion. This is crazy, because I'm not a huge fan of this one.
That's crazy.
I think this one's a little too raw, and I think they polish it a lot more on No Label 2, and that's why I'm a big fan of No Label 2. I think this one's a little lazy.
It does have that rawness, for sure.
Yeah. It's a lot of sounds, not a lot of thought, and I think No Label 2 mixes the two and does a good blend of that. Obviously, there's songs like Hannah Montana and Bando and Versace and stuff that really stand out.
There's an interesting thing here where I think sometimes when you don't know what you have, it shines the best. I think of a song like Adios, where what Quavo is doing on Adios is where he would make millions and millions of dollars years later. But he doesn't really know that that's what it is yet. So it, like, there is that rawness to it, but I think it brings something out in it that you don't get later. Like, Adios is none. That's one of my favorite Migos songs. Bando, like, there's that playfulness. People, there's always, like, the Twitter joke of, like, this is a RuneScape ass beat. Like, there's that, like, Atlanta random producer element of it. There's so much of just, if this had came out the exact same project 4 years later, I think you're looking at Adios would be a big record, Chirpin', Fuck 12, Finesser, Pronto. Like, there's so many records I think would have been insanely big had this came out later, but it was just the one that set the ground. Big, big fan of this one. I'm gonna take it.
All right. Spag, have you heard anything off this before?
I've heard quite a few of the songs, but I've never listened to it.
You know, front to back. I mean, it is a pretty long one too.
Yeah.
Easy one to scare off. I haven't heard it very often. I listened to it back in my major Migos. The kid that used to drive me to school every day was a huge Migos fan, and we listened to Migos on full volume at 6 in the morning every fucking morning.
That's how you start the day. Down.
Yeah.
Fuck Cheerios.
Waking up. Yeah. So I've heard a lot of Migos, like, constantly jumping all over the place in the albums and stuff, and you could always tell when YRN was coming on, because it sounds different than the rest of their stuff, for sure. All right, Spag, we're on to your first bonus. What do we got?
I'm gonna do I Love You by The Neighborhood.
Okay, see, The Neighborhood is I gotta check the track list on this one, because I really like The Neighborhood.
There's one song, like, Sweater Weather is the big one.
Yes, sir.
Talk
to us about this.
I mean, that was the one that I've probably listened to the most out of anything on here. And it's funny, some of my friends one of my friend's brothers gave me shit about the song Sweater Weather because he doesn't like it very much. And I listen to it quite often. So when I found out that was 2013, I was like, oh, man, we'll see. Yeah. But the other two that stuck out to me the most were Afraid and Staying Up. I mean, the song Afraid.
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't in a bad place in 2013 or anything, but I mean, that one deals with more like anxiety and depression and stuff. And that's stuff where, you know, is once we got to like 2020 and everything, that's, I felt a little bit more of that. So I think it was nice revisiting the album again. And like from that perspective, just kind of thinking, you know, where I was in 2013 listening to some of these songs. And then as I re-listened to them more recently, where I am now.
Yeah. So something I kind of mentioned earlier when we were doing the preamble, not to bring it all the way back to Lee's last pick, but Migos, when they dropped YRN and the songs like Bando and Versace were really making airwaves, there were a lot of talk about like whether it's real rap or not. And the neighborhood didn't have it as extensive because I think that genre of music's a little more open to like mixing stuff. But It's amazing how futuristic they got and putting like the electronic music, which was super popular at the time. We talked about something like Disclosure and the early 2010s and how they were building that, and they were able to morph it into like this indie pop, like a song like Sweater Weather. Wow. I can't speak on this show sometimes, but songs like that or songs like Afraid. And yeah, this is the one neighborhood or the second one of the two neighborhood albums I've actually heard, and really a big fan of this one. Lee, have you dug into this at all?
No, I haven't. My college roommate loves the neighborhood. He's a big, big fan of theirs. So I've probably heard some of these songs in the background. Everything I've heard, I've usually enjoyed. They've just never been a group that I've dug into, but I need to, because he put me on a lot of shit and he was a big fan of them. So, yeah, I'm gonna have to check it out.
Yeah, they do a good job of like mixing genres, I think. I know they put out a tape a few years ago. That was the other one I listened to. They had a lot of rappers on there. There's a song, Living in a Dream, with Nipsey Hussle, one of the last Nipsey Hussle verses. Really big fan of that one. But yeah, big fan of the neighborhood. Oh no, closed out my chart. So now I'm up, right?
Correct.
I got two.
Let's see.
So I'm on my bonus ones. So I'm going to ask if I can pick this album, and if I can't, that's okay. But that means no one else can. It's not just no for me. But can I take Acid Rap by Chance the Rapper?
That was the one I said earlier. I was like, how has this not gotten picked yet? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah? All right. Yeah. Let's go. I'm taking Acid Rap by Chance the Rapper. This is Chance's best work. It is a young Chance the Rapper doing a boatload of drugs. And he is such in his like bag of flowing on certain beats and stuff, just a big fan of Acid Rap. I don't really know what I can say about it because I know a lot of people have heard it, but I will say one of my favorite songs on here that I think is constantly forgotten is Pusha Man. It's a long one. It's about an 8-minute one, which is probably why a lot of people don't talk about it. But I think that is what I expected Chance the Rapper to grow into as he got older and he wanted to do less of the cocoa butter kisses or the like Smoke Agains or Chain Smoker and stuff like that. I thought if he was going to grow into something else, I thought it would be more like Pusha Man, and he went more religious route, which is fine. But yeah, big fan of Acid Rap. That's kind of the one thing I wanted to point out. I don't know if we've talked at length on this show about this project, but Lee, what do you got on Acid Rap?
Because yeah, we can. For people, you know, we're around the same age in our early to mid 20s. This was such a big moment. Like, I remember when Acid Rap came out, and I remember when it just became the biggest shit. Every mixtape site, every blog, people I remember especially older kids when I was riding the bus or I would be at lunch or whatever. Older kids were always talking about this project. And yeah, this project is really, really good. There are some parts of it that I don't think have aged the best, but I think it's still a really good listen. I'm a huge Pusherman-Paranoia. Paranoia is the part that I really, really love about it. And yeah, I kind of agree with you. Paranoia is the part that I kind of see Chance tapping back into the past like 6 to 8 months. When I hear some of the stuff he's doing now, I think he's kind of getting back in that mode.
Just a little side tangent. That Joey and Chance song that just came out, they might both be back. I don't know.
Yeah, I think what Chance has shown post Big Day, I'm very, very interested in what he's doing. Because, I mean, just to get back to Acid Rap, the more introspective stuff, I think of a Paranoia, I think of an Acid Rain, which is another one of my favorite Chance songs. When he does that, so much of Chance at this time is kind of like the gimmicks and the voice, and he's kind of like this quirky kid. But when he kind of puts that to the side and says, I want to put myself first and be introspective and be serious and be just a really good writer, I think that's some of his best stuff. So yeah, this project is really, really good. I'm surprised it made it this far. I figured it would have gotten taken by now. But yeah, I love this project too.
Spag, have you heard Acid Rap?
I got nothing.
Nothing, really. I'm not going to lie to you. That's a little surprising to me just because of the, like, what Lee was talking about, kind of its size in the moment. But yeah. I do suggest going back and listening to Acid Rap. That's
I'll definitely check that.
I think out of the ones I've listed out and you said you haven't really listened to, I think Acid Rap might be the one you enjoy the most.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd second that.
All right. Let's see what I'm going to do for my last pick. Do I go full youngest on my last pick? What's the ruling, Lee?
You got to.
Right. So now I'm picking the album here, not the person.
Wait, no, I take it back. Don't go full youngest. I take it back.
I think you know. I take it back.
That was going. No, I'm kidding. I was saying that because I was going to take it myself.
Oh, no. I'm not taking that one.
That's the Okay.
No. I'm going full youngest here.
Okay.
All right. Some shit a lot of people probably haven't heard. But an album I really, really do enjoy is Tob Kweli's Prisoner of Conscience. It's a album that came out in early 2013. It was kind of a return for Kweli. There is some pretty good stuff on here. It's an album I spun a lot. I have no idea why, but he kind of comes with some energy on stuff like Upper Echelon and Hamster Wheel, and there's some really good features on here. There's a song of Busta Rhymes called Rocket Ship, but the one that really stands out, a song I still listen to this day, really big fan of it, is Push Through with Kendrick Lamar and Currency. The three of them take turns verses on just a really laid back beat. It's about 5 minutes long. It's a pretty long song, but it's a good vibe. Love to listen to it with my windows down when I'm cruising by myself. He's got more songs with energy on it, like Turned Up, but he also does a little more of a romantic thing. Tob Kweli does have these moments where he tries to dig into romantic rap, similar to like Wale or Common, and Come Here with Miguel's a stand out there. I think that was the major single off it. But
yeah, I've never not heard sure this,
either of you two have heard this one.
Yeah, I haven't heard this, but I mean, you see some of these features, Miguel, Melanie Fiona, Marsha Ambrosius, definitely like some dope R&B singers.
Yeah, it was a weird time in my life where I was digging back into rap and everything from older artists was like a major moment, even though it kind of wasn't. But Prisoner of Conscience was a big part of that where I spun it a lot and I felt like everyone else was spinning it, but it was just me, just youngest hanging out by himself, listening to Push Through and shit. But yeah. Spag, I'm going to assume you haven't heard this one.
No.
I'm going to assume 90% of the listeners haven't heard this one. That's why I said I'm going to go full youngest on this pick, just because I was like, I need something that's
That one surprised me.
Yeah. All right, Spag, what do we got for your last one?
I'm going to go back to what we were talking about at the beginning. There's more than one song on here, but there's one song in particular. Okay. I'm going to do Yours Truly by Ariana Grande.
Oh.
The Way.
Yes. With
Mac Miller. Is. That song is so good.
Yeah, this is one of my favorites from early on, Ariana Grande. I feel like this is really her turn, but is there more to this album that you kind of like? You want to talk about it?
Yeah, I mean, Baby I is one that's just super poppy. I think that one was definitely one of the ones they had like out there for the album more. But then Almost Is Never Enough with, I believe his name is Nathan Sykes. That one is another one where it's, you know, it slows down, kind of like the where I was talking with the Paramore album. That song slows down a little bit more, and it's just more of those two showing off what they can be as singers, and yeah, getting away from more of the poppy stuff that she does.
Yeah, I like this album. Lee, have you heard this one?
Yeah, of course. Ariana is someone who I really have dug into thanks to Roby, because of all the praise that he's given her voice. She was someone who I didn't necessarily write off, but I was like, yeah, she could sing. I don't really want to hear her records, though. But when I went back, I mean, through all her albums, we'll kind of stick with this one. The voice is just generational. You know, not many people in the history of humankind have been able to sing like Ariana Grande. And it shows even here, where I think her voice has improved through the years, but even just this being like the surface level is insane. You mentioned The Way. I think anybody who I kind of mentioned is in our age range, they know that song. That song has like a special place in our hearts. It's a dope ass song.
Who was she dating at this time? Big Sean or Mac Miller? I forget. Because they're both on this album.
Yeah, I want to say Mac.
Okay.
But I'm not sure. I want to.
And then Big Sean is after. Sounds like, I think Big Sean's after.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Looks like she might have been with Nathan Sykes at the time.
Okay.
I got no idea with that woman, I'm gonna be honest with you. And Big Sean doesn't help either, because he does the same shit where he'll have his girlfriend at the time on his album, but then he'll have his next girlfriend on a different song on the same album.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's three of them on that album.
Yeah, Lee, we're up to you now on your last pick.
Yeah. Well, okay, but one more thing about this Ariana project, though. I think it does a good job because it's her debut. It does an amazing job of, like, setting the stage. I think, to some extent, she kind of gets away with a little bit on this album just because she sings so fucking good. And her later records were, I think, so, so good. When I look at, like, Sweetener or Thank You Next, those albums are so, so good. Mm-hmm. But this is still worth your time. Very, very good album. So I like that pick. Let me get my last pick off. Before I pick that, I will say the album that I mentioned at the top that I'm not gonna pick because it came out super late in the year is Beyonce by Beyonce. It came out like December 20th or some shit like that. It came out at the very, very tail end of 2013.
So it would have counted, man. I took because the internet comes out like December or something.
Yeah.
Do I want to do that?
You want to take who you want to take, because you've been saving it. I know you've been saving it for the last one, but I wasn't going to take it.
Well, yeah, let me mention. Yeah, well, I'll just shout out Self-Titled by Beyonce. Honestly, probably my favorite record of that year. I think it's the best album of that year. Just kind of left it off because it was super late. And I just talked about it with Roby like three episodes ago. So watch that. Instead, Yeezus. Kanye West Yeezus is going to be the last pick of this draft, which is crazy because when you go back in real time, people were dick riding on this album. I think when you look at damn near every publication, they had it as like the best album of the year. I don't feel that strongly about it. We've talked about, I mean, I just mentioned Beyonce. We talked about a couple other albums I think were of higher quality, but I still think this is one of the best records of the year. It's worst part that it's best and it's worst is that Kanye made like half of the shit in like 2 hours or some shit like that. Like the quickness in which this album was made is a gift and a curse. You see it on some of the lyrics. Some of the lyrics are god awful. You look at a song like I Am a God, is just it's fucking horrible. It's the worst song on this album. It's bad. I think every other song is good though. Some of the production I think is just beautiful. I look at a song like But on the Leaves, and that shit is just amazing. Some of my favorite work, production work from Kanye. A song like Black Skinhead, which I think when I say the quickness this album was made is like a gift and a curse, a Black Skinhead is kind of like the gift side of that, where Black Skinhead I think is one of his dopest records, but you can see like the urgency in it, just the I need to get this shit out of me. I think that was a song he did on SNL that year. But yeah,
Black Skinhead is the SNL song.
Yeah. Hold My Liquor, like Bound To, of course, Bound To is insane. Outside of I Am a God, I don't think there's a bad song here. So give me Yeezus.
Yeah.
A very polarizing album. I think Kanye's most underrated in my opinion, because I'm finding out a lot of people just really don't like it, but I think it's super, super dope.
So 2013 Youngest would 100% agree with you. I was all in on Yeezus. New Slaves came out, and it only came out on video from projections on the side of buildings in random cities. And the only way you could hear the song when it first came out was people recording that. And I would be on YouTube and just hit the refresh button whenever it finished. And I was listening to that song like crazy, super excited for the album. Then he gives the date in June and it comes out. And I mentioned earlier, there was like my thing of big moments like this happening and the world around me wasn't looking at it as a big moment. And I had friends that had kind of said they were like Kanye fans and stuff. So I burned them all a copy of Yeezus, made them all sit and listen to Yeezus, and turned a lot of my friends into like major Kanye fans, or at least they started talking to me about it more. And yeah, Yeezus, big moment in my life. I do not go back to a single track on this thing. I am not too big a fan of it. I know a lot of people said it was like advanced for its time and it was something a lot of people have like come back around on. That's not the case for me. I went the opposite direction.
That's
personally why I didn't draft it. But
yeah, I will say, I'm going to try to keep it brief. I could talk about this album for hours, but there was the whole, this is something that is new, and that's not entirely true. You look at some stuff that some people were doing, even like at Death Grips. What Kanye was doing here wasn't exactly like completely, completely brand new, but it was super bold for him. And I love the fact that he did it. This marks a kind of a shift, I think, in Kanye's career that slightly started with My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. This album was just so much like an internet moment too. Like Yeezus was a big thing online, right?
It was.
And I mean, I was younger for My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, so I don't know like what was happening on like Facebook or like early Twitter, I don't know. But like, this was a big moment like online, people talking about Kanye. And I think you do kind of slightly see the start of like a prototypical Kanye fan that you hate. That a lot of that kind of starts with Yeezus.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Spag, have you heard Yeezus at all?
I have. That was one I did listen
to. If you said no here, I would have been shocked.
Well, I'm almost positive. Like, I could be very wrong on this, but I'm pretty sure that before Packer games, they play Black Skinhead. Like,
no, it's a very big football song.
Like, okay, because I'm pretty sure when I, like, the games I've been to, because that song, like, mm-hmm. I knew what it was immediately.
Yeah.
But I think Bound 2 is the best song on the album. At least it's my favorite, where, like you said, you don't revisit anything on this. If there was a song that I were to revisit, it would be Bound 2.
Yeah, I think Blood on the Leaves and Black Skinhead are my two favorite on here, to be honest with you.
Yeah, those were the three that I had written down. Blood on the Leaves, Black Skinhead, Bound 2.
Yeah. Blood on the Leaves is one that makes me be like, man, like I said, the amount of time this thing was recorded, he made it so fast. It's this gift and a curse. Like, if he had fleshed things out, I wonder how many more, like, Blood on the Leaves and Black Skinheads and Bound 2s could have made their way to the surface. But
Daft Punk has their hand in this one too, don't they?
They do a little bit, yeah.
So that's it for our draft. So let me give a breakdown. My picks, I took 2020 Experience by Justin Timberlake, Nothing Was the Same by Drake, Because the Internet by Childish Gambino, Long Live ASAP by ASAP Rocky, Born Sinner by J. Cole, Acid Rap by Chance the Rapper, not Kendrick Lamar, and Prisoner of Conscience by Talib Kweli. And then Spag had the most diverse grouping that we've ever had on our show. So big thanks to Spag for coming on, opening our ears to some newer stuff.
Yeah.
We got AM by Arctic Monkeys, Same Trailer, Different Park by Kacey Musgraves. We got Pure Heroin by Lorde. We got The 1975 by The 1975. We got Paramore by Paramore. And we got I Love You by The Neighborhood and Yours Truly by Ariana Grande. And then the last but not least, we got Lee. Lee took My Name Is My Name by Pusha T, Days Are Gone by Haim, Random Access Memories by Daft Punk, Kissland by The Weeknd, Settle by Disclosure, YRN by Migos, The Mixtape, and Yeezus by Kanye. So vote between yourself, by yourself, yell at Spag or Lee, not me.
Spag, real quick, something that I kind of figured you might have taken, Vampire Weekend.
I had that. That was on my list too. I was gonna,
You know, yeah. Let's run through some honorable mentions. Spec, what you have left over on the list? Just real quick, one hitters.
So I had three remaining. So he probably could have gotten 10. but yeah, Modern Vampires of the City by Vampire Weekend. I had Anything in Return, Toro y Moi, and then the last one, as a complete safety pick if everything was taken, I had The Diving Board, Elton John.
Okay, pretty strong. Lee, what we have on our honorable mentions?
The Vampire Weekend was all mine, and I asked Spag about that just because at the time that album was so beloved. Mm-hmm. You saw it on a lot of year-end lists. Vampire Weekend was like, oh my god, they're about to be the next biggest thing. I like the album. I feel like it, because as someone who wasn't really there, I feel like it underwhelmed me just a little bit from what I thought it was going to be, but still a dope record. So Vampire Weekend was there. Who else was on mine? Party Next Door, self-titled. Old by Danny Brown. What else is on here? Doris by Earl Sweatshirt. Something that I'm surprised Youngest didn't take was FBG the movie. That was 2013. I don't know if you know that or not.
I don't think I knew that.
Yeah. Right. What else? Electric Lady by Janelle Monae, and For Some More Country, Southeastern by Jason Isbell.
I am shocked you didn't take the Janelle Monae album.
I like that. It was on my
short list. I was kind of leaving it for you, to be honest with you, but I don't think it would have made my top seven anyways.
I'm a big fan of it. It is more of like a seven thing. If we did 10, might have found a way to get it in there. It's not my favorite Janelle Monae project, is the main reason.
Yeah. For me, surprised, first off, Lee didn't take The Gifted, you know, everyone's favorite Wale album.
Oh my god, never heard of it.
Yeah. For the real hip-hop heads, Czarface by Czarface, the like collab there, real left on the table, but I'm a fan of that one to some degree. Not something I listen to a lot, but fan of that. We left Indie Cut on the table, not something I'm too big into, but I know that's that was a major album from this year. The 2 Chainz album, the Boats 2.
Yep.
Kind of like that one. There's some songs on there I really liked, but I wasn't going to end up taking that album. For the real sickos, Unconscious State by John Connors was on the bottom of my shortlist. But I spun out.
Nah, you,
I thought you were going to talk
you
about
it. You were saying that I had some shady checks coming in for my West Side Boogie appreciation. You plug in John Connors? That's crazy.
There's like 4 people listening to this show that know what the fuck you're talking about. Maybe not even, honestly. I'm surprised Lee knows what the fuck I'm talking about.
Cash Con, like, yeah, that's my shit. Fucking Cash Con, young old ass.
Honestly, this one was a little higher on my list. It's my favorite album of his. It might be the only like really good one, but Ace Hood's Trials and Tribulations is legitimately a album from 2013 that's pretty good. That was kind of glossed over on our end. Yeah. But there's like Stay Trippy by Juicy J, Hall of Fame, Big Sean, Trap Lord, ASAP Ferg. Yeah, just a lot of stuff that we didn't really get to.
Yeah. Watch Movies with the Sound Off. It came up because we were talking about the big three. Crenshaw by Nipsey Hussle. That was also 2013.
I should have dug more into the mixtapes. That's my fault. I definitely would have taken Crenshaw. Big fan.
Yeah, Crenshaw. Yeah, yeah, love Crenshaw. That was kind of on my list too. Mm-hmm. I think that's all we got. Yeah. Yo, Spag, real quick, what are you listening to like in real time? Yeah, like what? Like
right
what
now?
What are your favorite albums? Right, not to put you on the spot or anything, but
yeah. What's in the rotation right now?
Yeah. Okay. So, well, I mean, because I went to see them, and as Lee and I have discussed, Youngest knows nothing about them, but Duran Jones and
he
the Indicator.
He don't know shit about this.
Lying to the.
He don't know lying a to thing the about that.
Because yeah, I mean that. That True Love was in the Scream movie this year. Okay, and yeah, that's where I was first introduced to them, and I got really into that. But Harry's House just came out. I like that album a lot. And then, yeah, Cash Con and I have talked a little bit. Wallows, they had an album come out this year, and then I was revisiting their first EP they put out, and then old stuff like Steely Dan, Aja.
Oh yeah,
that album is so
yeah. So Steely Dan has definitely got their like strong fan base that never stops listening to their music, so yep. That makes sense. Yeah. Yeah, well, thanks for joining us, Spag.
Yeah, we appreciate
you hopping on, talking to us about some Neighborhood and Paramore.
Yeah,
1975, you know, stuff me and Lee wanna give like exposure to, and we have people that listen to the show that like that kind of stuff. We aren't capable of fully diving in, so like having someone like you come on and talk for us.
Appreciate
it. Yeah, it was a good time.
Yes. Anything else on that?
No, me and Lee will probably talk after this about what we're gonna do the next week, but you might get too many episodes. You might get too many episodes throughout the week.
You might.
There's some stuff we want to talk about, but other than that, rate, review, give us 5 stars. Thank you for fucking with us.
Everybody have a good week. Take care of yourselves, and have a good one.